This is Deanna Hart, assistant editor with American City and County Magazine, and I'm speaking with Miami Mayor Manuel Diaz about his upcoming term as president of U.S. Conference of Mayors. First, I wanted to just start off with, wanted to find out what you think some of the most critical issues that cities are facing currently.
Okay. Well, I think you need to look at this in terms of from a long-term perspective and a short-term perspective. I think as far as the future is concerned, one of the things that I worry about mostly is the ability of cities to remain competitive and therefore the ability of this country to remain competitive in this new economic era that we're going through. I mean, clearly, the cities are the economic engine of the United States. As we prosper, so does our country. We produce more than 85% of our jobs, income, gross domestic product, and so in order for us to be able to compete and our residents to be able to compete with, as I often say, our children are no longer competing with kids in other cities in Florida or even other cities in the United States. They're competing with kids in New Delhi and Shanghai and Rio and Madrid and a number of other places. And so, if we don't begin to think that way, then I think that we're gonna see our prominence economically not be the same that we were accustomed to in the last century.
Mm. Are there any unique issues that Miami is currently facing that you hope to bring to the attention of the U.S. Conference of Mayors this year?
Well, the beauty of this position is that the issues that we face are the same issues that other mayors face. They vary in terms of degrees depending on where you come from, but clearly, we're going through the same things that everybody's going through. And as you know, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at our 10-point plan.
Yes, I have. Uh-huh.
Right, and so you see that cities, for example, in the environment have taken really the lead in this country. I think we're over 850 mayors now.
Right.
That have signed the climate protection agreement, and we're all trying to do what we can at the local level. And we sure would love to have a Washington partner with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're beginning to see some signs of that. So that's a positive. But for a long time, we've been out there on our own, and this is not typically something that was a line item in our budgets locally, but because we're on the front line and because we, a mayor goes to the street corner to have a cup of coffee and you're always going to have constituents come to you and tell you what their concerns are, it's a lot easier to reach us than it is to reach someone, thousands of miles away in the nation's capital or even in your state capital. So issues like that, crime, we've been, very active trying to promote, again, reinstatement of crime-fighting programs like the COPS program that has been essentially completely defunded for the last few years, a program that in the 1990s brought the crime rate down just about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In America by putting more police on the streets and cities now with the challenges that we have are really in a tough position in order to continue the funding levels that are necessary to keep the police officers that you have currently today, much less add additional police officers. From an attrition perspective, a lot of cities are actually net losing police officers, and you see the rate begin to go the other way in so many cities. That you couple that with unfortunately the expiration of the assault weapons ban, which needs to be reinstated, and some other issues that we're fighting with, especially through our Mayors Against Illegal Guns group that now also numbers several hundred.
Mm-hmm.
Gun show loopholes and issues like that, background checks that that are essential in order for us to keep our. It's an issue of keeping our streets safe. That's all.
Right.
And we're not trying to take a gun away from anybody, but this is a real law and order type of issue that we, as mayors, believe to be, you know, nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure is another huge issue. I mean, if, and again, in Miami, we're doing the best that we can, but if we don't make the investments that are necessary to make sure that our infrastructure, whether it's our transit, our roads, our bridges, continue, that we modernize them, then we're going to be in a real serious position. And you can't expect just local governments to carry the tab to make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
So those are making our workforce competitive. Education certainly is we keep lagging behind the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So these are investments that we need to make, and at the local level, I think you could say that all of us are doing what we can with what we have to make those investments so that we can make sure that that we continue to create the jobs and continue to keep our streets safe and fight global warming and do all the things that that we want for our children. But we need partnerships, and one of those, probably the most critical partnership of all, is one with the federal government.
Mm-hmm. My next question kind of goes along with some of the issues that you just mentioned. In your recent State of the City address, you talked about how cities need to continually reinvent themselves.
Right.
And I wanted to find out how in recent years has Miami reinvented itself, and why is this beneficial to cities? Why is this something that cities need to address?
Well, Miami is completely different than it was 6 years ago. and a lot of it has, as you saw in my State of the City, has had to do with investments,
mm-hmm.
With investments in our parks and our open spaces, working with the business community to bring more jobs. We went from an 11% unemployment rate to, somewhere between 4 and 5, I haven't checked recently. Promoting the arts in our community. You need, when I say reinvesting, needs change and people change and the world changes.
Right.
And a city should be viewed, in my opinion, no differently than a business. And in business, you have to constantly be reinventing yourself. You have to constantly be testing your product. And in the case of cities, we are a product. I mean, people can choose to come here to Miami or not. I mean, they can. In today's world, you can practically live anywhere, and be connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to stay ahead of the game. You need to find out what's going. What is the quality of life? Where do people want to live? And make sure that you are doing the right things to make that a reality.
Right.
And so the day where you can just sort of sit back and people will come to you, it doesn't exist anymore.
Hmm.
You have to do the right things and market yourself and let people know that this is a great place to live and work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Kind of along those same lines, when you first took office in 2001, the city was struggling financially, and with many cities today working with constrained budgets and having to address infrastructure issues and public safety and issues like that, wanted to find out what advice would you offer for cities that might be struggling financially and how they can continue to better their communities.
Well, this is a long answer.
It's kind of a big question, I know.
I think that there's no one answer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a combination of many different aspects. I mean, all of us have neighborhoods, and all of us have an urban core, or most of us do anyway, an urban core, a downtown, and And your neighborhoods, for me, neighborhoods are essential. Neighborhoods are really what help build a solid foundation for any city. So you have to make the investments in the neighborhoods. You have to make sure that they're safe. You have to make sure that they're clean. You have to make sure that you have the kind of programs in the parks that the families can enjoy. You have to attack sort of, the front porch, the bread and butter issues, to make neighborhoods attractive so that the people that are there will stay, and so that you attract people from outside the neighborhood. One of the things that's occurring in the world, and certainly in America, is we're becoming more and more urbanized. People want to move back into the urban core, which is what Miami is and which is what most of the major cities are, the urban core of their area. And so when you make it attractive enough for people to move back in, then you begin to rebuild neighborhoods. With respect to the investment community that wants to invest in either office, retail, commercial, residential in your core, I think that what you have to do is you have to be you have to be available. The one thing that the business community values almost the most, more than anything else, is time and investment. And one message that was very clear for me when I first got here is that you could shake hands with me and know that you have a deal. Too often those in public office understand what needs to be done, shake hands, but then a couple of people complain and you back away from your promises. And you can't. Those businesses can, build a high-rise office building or residential building in Miami or Atlanta or Houston or anywhere else, so why are they going to build it here? And if they feel like they've spent a year developing plans and several $100,000 developing plans, and then you show up to City Hall and your project doesn't get approved, then you're going to go elsewhere and never come back and tell all your friends.
Right, exactly.
Not to come back. So you have to create this sense and this environment of stability, of political stability, that this is a good place. And not that you're doing anything special for someone other than just giving someone a fair shake. And if something is otherwise permissible, it will be allowed. And simply because a few people complain or don't like it, you won't back down on what your promise is. So a combination of all those things, I think, have led the city to be invigorated financially and economically. And obviously right now all of us are going through, difficult times economically, but still what you do is you build a base where you go through the good times and the bad times, and that's the function of the economy. We go in cycles. You can't always be up, and it won't always be down.
Absolutely.
And so what you need to do is you need to build yourself a strong enough base where, even at a personal level, right? I mean, that's what we do in our personal lives, so that you can weather the downs and enjoy the ups.
And finally, and you've touched on this throughout the interview, but just wanted to get your final thoughts on it. What are some of your main goals that you have for the U.S. Conference of Mayors this year?
Well, clearly you know what the issues are. But on an overriding basis, I think the one critical opportunity I think that we have this year is that obviously we're in the middle of an election, presidential election. And so we've been doing our best, with our current president, Doug Palmer, and the one who preceded him, Mike Guido, when we developed the 10-point plan, is to make sure that we get the urban agenda in front of all the presidential candidates. And that's, to me, that's critical. We're going to go through, the final, the two conventions and the election and the transition, and I think it's going to be, for the sake of this country, I'm hoping that the candidates or whoever the winner is, mm-hmm. will look at what we're talking about and the issues that we're promoting and understand how important that is to the future of America. And so I think that our biggest task, again, but I think it's our biggest opportunity, is to make sure that that urban agenda gets the kind of attention and action out of Washington that'll make it possible for us to be able to team up and rebuild this economy and strengthen our country. Mm-hmm.